And we said that we're not going to be very long in the engagement. I would propose that we observe just a moment of silence, prayer and meditation. Amen. Let me welcome you once again to this engagement. But before we proceed with the welcome, maybe let me get an explanation from you, acting DGG, as to why is it that there isn't political leadership attending the meeting today. Because this is an annual report. We would have thought that because we understand it's happening today, there's no argument about it. And ministers are expected to prioritize cabinet because there is rather account to the president. But the issue is, in the absence of the minister, one would have expected that at least the deputy minister would be. I don't know if I would be able to get an explanation together with the other members in that regard.
Thank you, Chair. As the Chair has correctly indicated, the Minister is in Cabinet. I was just checking with my colleagues whether they would know exactly maybe whether the Deputy Minister is also in Cabinet. I do not want to mislead this House and say I know where the Deputy Minister is. But we will, of course, communicate. I'm sure that she might be involved in some other kind of assignments as well, but I won't be able to be specific about it. Thank you.
That is unacceptable. At least we should have a formal apology through the liaison officer from the office of the Deputy Minister to say that she is held up, or she is coming, or she will be coming in late or early to leave, coming in early to leave early, whichever the case is. On behalf of the committee, I really would implore you to go back to your leadership, your political leadership, to say that it doesn't sit well with us as a select committee to interrogate the annual performance for which we have voted a budget and assess the performance of the department in the absence of political leadership. Because they've been entrusted with the responsibility of being very lenient. We said we understand that the ministers are in cabinet. That is not agreeable, but at least the Deputy Minister should be able to present herself, even if she is ill, but at least to make an open statement politically on behalf of the department and the we are, as a committee, going to write a letter expressing our disquiet about the whole issue. It's very important, especially if it's an APP or an annual report. Maybe we understand in between, but those two are very critical. I'm sorry to say this to you, FDG, but it's an issue that we need to try and thresh out between ourselves and the political leadership. So convey the message and solve that.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will. Thank you.
The purpose of our engagement today is with regards to your annual performance plan. As the select committee, we did pass a budget and we appropriated, I think it was about 3.8 billion or 2.8 billion. 4.2, which is a lot of money. Although I know that it doesn't address all the needs, but at least it is in billions, as to say that you go and execute your money at the Department of Arts and Culture in terms of ensuring social cohesion and common and personal identities. Set your targets accordingly, which were presented in the form of an annual performance plan. Go and execute your mandate at the end of the financial year, then you present your achievements in terms of financial performance, in terms of performance in relation to target, in terms of governance of the department, in terms of human resource issues of governance. So I just wanted to give a summary of what we expect. We know that you are running four programs, and each of those programs have got targets. You are going to demonstrate how we've achieved the targets, where we've fallen short of achievement of said targets. Then you'll explain to the committee what the reasons were and what I'm going to do to ensure that those issues are rectified. You have aligned, in any case, your mandate with the NDP. You did prove that at the beginning. And I hope that you were on course. You are going to tell us about the financial and non-financial performance, the audit general, whether the findings are in terms of correction and all of this. But I would request that because of the shortage of out, having watched the responses and everything. So I am giving you between now and what is the time? It's 5:10. I'm going to give you up to 11:15. Thank you. Honorable Kauka. Oh, but the, sorry, let me just record apologies before I give an opportunity to Honorable Kauka. We've got an apology from Honorable Elsie Damin, attending MINMEC. In KwaZulu-Natal. Apology is noted. And we also have got an apology from Honorable Mushoi. She is the book of in one certain time. This is what is written. I think it's an issue relating to human settlement. And then we've got an apology from Samga, who is of 60. Those are the apologies that we have official. I don't know if there is any other honorable account.
Thank you, Chair. I request to be released at 11:30. I have joined the train at 11:30.
Honorable Stubb.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I would also like to say apology to Honorable Kauka for the Joint Rules Committee.
All right, thank you. So this is the reason why, actually, you are saying that please present us the list. By 1:11, you are through, so that they have time to ask questions and they get the responses before they leave. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. But also, maybe before I start, Chairperson, I have gotten the information about the Deputy Minister's improvement that is also in the Cabinet. But we will still convey the message that you have actually indicated to us. But now we know she's also in the Cabinet. But also, Chairperson, I think it's quite important that on behalf of the team, we thank you and your committee for having given us an opportunity to go ahead with the strategic planning, because we were supposed to come and do the report, but we requested you and you kindly accepted our request. We thank you so much for that. And then from us as the Department of Arts and Culture, the team, there's only one DDG who is not here with us because he's also supporting the minister in case there are questions that would require him in cabinet. Ms. Kelebohile Setibelo. Thank you so much, Peter. I'm going to try and go through this presentation quite quickly, but I would also request, Chairperson, that when it comes to issues of finances, I would request the CFO to be the one who takes over the presentation. Thank you. That's an outline of our presentation, starting with the vision, which a dynamic, vibrant, and transformed arts, culture, and heritage center, leading nation building through social cohesion and socio-economic inclusion. And our strategic goals are a transformed, coherent, and development-focused arts, culture, and heritage sector, nation building through effective social cohesion program implementation, productive, diverse, and inclusive arts, culture, and heritage sector, a sound governance fiscal management system, professional and capacitated arts, culture, and heritage sector. Those are our strategic goals. Now, these are priorities that we have been focusing on, which include the white paper, which include outcome 40, which is aligned with National Development Plan, the Mzansi Golden Economy, heritage promotion and preservation, National Days, the library program, National Archives, Languages, DAC Schools Programs, Cultural Diplomacy, and DAC entities, the governance of the entities that we have. In terms of the performance overview, as you can see, Chairperson and honorable members, we were only able to achieve 66% of our targets. And if we look at the performance trends, I think that there was a bit of regression from 2014-2015, where we got 71%, and this time around we got 66%. And the explanation for that would largely be on policy matters, would also be largely on capital works projects. Now, starting with the white paper review process, during the year under review, the DAC embarked on the consultative workshops on the white paper on arts, culture, and heritage in provinces. A national white paper review summit was held in November 2015, during which wide-ranging recommendations were made to reshape the policy framework, and a reference panel comprising experts and stakeholders in the sector was appointed to draft the revised white paper. In fact, on Thursday and Friday last week, we had the second endeavor where we were looking at the draft policy paper and also ensuring that the entire sector has got an opportunity to make further inputs into the white paper. Nation building and social cohesion, in this particular area of work, it remains the task of the Department of Arts and Culture to lead and coordinate efforts to reconstruct our fractured and divided past to a more socially and economically inclusive society that is proud of all its cultural expressions. This entails, amongst other things, mobilizing people to act together to embrace diverse cultures and create new forms of engagement towards greater unity. And in pursuit of these ideals, the department continued to lead and implement the social cohesion program during the year under review. Department, as well as 13 delivered center departments, reviewed outcome 14 indicators to ensure that the programs implemented promote a socially inclusive society. And then the key highlights of 2015-2016 financial year include the following. We had 33 community conversations on social cohesion and nation building. And there is a slide that shows those specific provinces where this particular conversation took place. But apart from that, we have been coordinating activities with different government departments. And we were able to produce four quarterly reports that were sent to Cabinet. In terms of Mzansi Golden Economy, which is also more about human capital development, we had, in fact, the DAC's Human Capital Development Strategy entails initiatives that seek to entrench the appreciation of arts, culture, and heritage at an early developmental stage of child development. That's why we then have got this program, which is placing artists in schools. The flagship program in this regard is the placement of artists in schools. The year under review saw 352 arts practitioners placed in schools across all 9 provinces. And these are statistics outlined below. And then I'm sure that the members can actually see that the province where there are so many artists in schools is the Free State province, because they've actually taken upon themselves to actually include this program within their EPWP, Expanded Public Works Program. Incubator program. This is a program initiated to capacitate emerging artists. The incubators are designed to provide tools of trade to allow for the creation of local content and the broadening of participation of artists in the economy. And the following incubators were supported in 2015-16 financial year. As you can see, Honorable Chairperson and members, that the Western Cape, the entity that has been running the incubator project program is the Arts Cape. There are 25 incubates. In the Free State, this program is actually being done by the PACOFs, and there are 40 incubates. And the Gauteng, it's in the Market Theater, we've got 417 incubates. Gauteng, the State Theater, is about 84 incubates. Mpumalanga, which is the Caster Bridge Music Academy, we've got 1,000 incubates. KwaZulu-Natal, the Fashion Hub, 10 incubates. Gauteng, also again in the Windybrow, 38 incubates. And KwaZulu-Natal Playhouse, 30 incubates. So this is a very important program to ensure that we capacitate the emerging artists and we create excellence in that particular, in those specific fields. And then in terms of the cultural events, in the year under review, 50 cultural events were supported through an open call for proposals. Furthermore, 25 flagship cultural events were supported as follows. In the Eastern Cape, supported National Arts Festival, and Buyelekhaya Pan-African Festival. And then in the Free State, we supported Makufe, and then the Cultural Mind Dance Festival. In Gauteng, we supported the Standard Bank Joy of Jazz, Baliaruna Carnival, Muretele Tribute Concert, Summer Awards, Miami Winter Conference, Mbogodo Awards, Mshito and Disco. And then in Limpopo, Mapungubwe, as well as Marula Festival, KwaZulu-Natal, Ilembe Lifestyle, and in Doni. In Mpumalanga, Mpumalanga Comes Alive was supported. In the Northwest Province, Daun Cultural Calabash and Mahika Mahikeng. And then in the Northern Cape, Diamonds Dorrance. And then the Western Cape, we supported Cape Town Carnival, Cape Town International Jazz Festival, Say There Was the Fierce, Duet and UVR. And then four provinces, we had also National Book Week in four provinces, which is Bobo, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, and the Eastern Cape. These are cultural events that were supported by the department, I mean the flagships, over and above many other projects that we could not list here. And then the touring ventures. So in the year under review, 8 major touring ventures and 41 open call ventures were supported, including the following. The China season, it happened here. It happened in China, South Africa, UK season, United Kingdom, South Africa, and it happened in the UK. And then the Venice 56th International Art Exhibition, the beneficiary here was Mahabane Rose and Associates, which is a company associated with Apartheid Museum. It happened in Venice. The Garden Boy, Kasi Amazing Youth Artist, it happened in KZN. The Lost Ones Tour, Living in Sweet Arts Projects in the Northwest, Canadian National Exhibition Tour. The beneficiary here is Genelo Tobelani Situ in Gauteng Province, Merupa Interactive Drumming, Performing Arts and Cultural Development Project. Those were the beneficiaries, and it happened in the Northern Cape. International Folk Art Meetings in Poland. The beneficiary here was Umzansi Zulu Dancers. It happened in Poland. But this is the touring ventures, which is about taking our cultures to different spaces, to different provinces, to different countries, as a way of showcasing what we have as a country. Then the cultural observatory, a very important element of our work here, Chairperson and honorable members. the South African Cultural Observatory, the National Research Center hosted by the Department of Arts and Culture, Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, Rhodes University, and the University of Fort Hare. And the most important function of the Cultural Observatory will be to collect, and disseminate research on the arts, culture, and heritage sector. What is most important here at Chairperson is also the whole issue of cultural statistics, so that we know what we have. We can quantify what we have in the country so that we can better manage. The year under review saw the annual business plan and the work plan for the Cultural Observatory approved, offices established, a review of the data and methodology of the 2013 mapping study conducted, and consultations on the five-year research agenda initiated. Living Legends program, very also important program, which begins to recognize our living legends, those artists that have been there for a very long time, that have skills, that have got expertise. Our view is that we shouldn't just not support them, because if we do not support them, they won't be able to transfer their expertise and skills to the current generation and therefore the future generations. So the Living Legends Legacy Program was launched in November 2015 to recognize and celebrate the role of living legends in arts, culture, and heritage, and provide opportunities between the legends and aspiring young artists. During the year under review, the Living Legends participated in a number of activities that included 18 master classes around the country, concerts, and festivals. Moreover, Living Legends Trust and Interim Governance Committee were established, because the idea here is to ensure that there's the sustainability of this program, so that it doesn't actually only hinge upon government, but that you have got a government structure for this, so that they can also go out there to the private sector, to the corporate world, and actually fundraise for this particular program to continue. Heritage promotion and preservation, transforming the heritage landscape. Chairperson and honorable members, the year under review saw the country experience a number of incidents of defacing and vandalism and removal of heritage objects. In response to this, the department hosted a national consultative workshop on the transformation of the heritage landscape. Our minister, honorable Natim Teto, appointed a task team of heritage experts to inform and guide the process. In implementing the recommendations of the workshop, the Department of Arts and Culture hosted a series of consultative forums throughout all 9 provinces. The comprehensive response drafted includes specifics on the accelerated transformation of geographical names, monuments, statues, and heritage sites and objects. Then, in terms of geographical names, in the period under review, 226 geographical names were standardized, including the ones below that received the most public interest. So we couldn't list all of them, but we listed those that kind of heavyweights, for the lack of a better word. These are the names like the change of names from Jamestown to James Kalata, Aliwalno to Maleswai, Lady Frere to Kaka to Elio to Kowa, Queenstown to Komani, Mount Frere, Wabaga, Mount Elif, Matisibeni, Klokolan, Sosolwane, Hellsmith, Indabazwe. So these are one of the most important names that were transformed and standardized. Then the legacy projects. On 11 September 2015, President Jacob Zuma and Mozambican President Philip Nyusi officially unveiled the Matola Monument and Interpretive Center in memory of the struggle heroes that were brutally killed during the Matola raid in 1981. And then the centerpiece of the monument consists of 3 red obelisks on which the names of the Matola Matans are inscribed. Adjacent to the monument is a multimedia information center containing photographs and documentation of anti-apartheid struggle. And that's part of the Liberation Heritage Route. That's part of recognizing the role that was played by the frontline states in the struggle for liberation. National and commemorative days. These are national days. The national days are an everlasting reminder for the country now and for future generations of the key events that took place in our country. They are designed to invoke national pride, commemorate the pain of the past, as well as some of the virtues of the past, and where we're going as a country. six national days are one commemorative day. Six national days and one commemorative day were hosted by the department, and that's as follows. Human Rights Day, which happened in KwaZulu-Natal, Freedom Day in Gauteng, Youth Day once again in Gauteng, Mandela Day in KwaZulu-Natal, Women's Day in Free State, Heritage Day, Limpopo Day of Reconciliation, Eastern Cape. This is in line also, Chairperson, with the principle of rotation, so that they are not just centered in one particular province, but that all provinces have got this kind of an experience of national days. The library program, 35 libraries were created. A total of 44 new libraries were built in the reporting period as follows. I wouldn't want to go to the details there in the interest of time, those graphs show the new libraries that were established, as well as the other graph also show those libraries that were upgraded in an attempt to ensure that we build the culture of reading and writing in the country. This also is the geographical distribution of library material purchased during this particular reporting period. And then 706 ICT infrastructure was upgraded and 532 libraries were connected with free public internet access. Library awareness program and projects that promote the culture of reading were regularly implemented in their community libraries. 33 libraries have established services for the visually impaired in the Eastern Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, which is a very important intervention. In fact, Chairperson and honorable members, we have made it mandatory for all provinces to ensure that as they use the library conditional grant, they should ensure that there are facilities for people with visual impairment, so that they also are integrated in the society. They also get the benefits that everybody else gets. 27 bursaries were provided to library staff, 23 Free State and 4 Northwest in the reporting period in order to enhance skills and competencies in libraries. 1,827 employment contracts were renewed in the period under review. In terms of languages, terminology development, the Constitution recognizes language as an important imperative to emancipate and empower people to access services and opportunities provided by government. The Department continued to develop terminologies for language that were previously marginalized. In the period under review, terminologies in the following domains were developed: information, communication terminology, mathematics, human management, I'll just remember that abbreviation, life orientation. But just to say that the important thing about this terminology development is to ensure that our languages are not static. They are able to speak the language of science, they are able to speak the language of commerce, so that people at some point are able to study those subjects using their own language, like all other countries have been able to do. The Chinese have done this. Even Africa at some point was not as developed as it was today. So all African languages must also be able to develop in such a way that they are able to, people are able to theorize, create theories using their own languages. The Language Mastery Program. The promulgation of the use of official languages and places a great demand for skills in the language space. The language mastery scheme of the department is aimed at meeting this demand. The year under review saw 463 bursaries awarded to students wishing to pursue a career in the language profession. And then this is how they were awarded: University of Limpopo 60, the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University 68, Western Cape 40, Witwatersrand 58, South Africa 73, Northwest University 164. And then International Mother Tongue Day. International Mother Language Day was proclaimed by the General Conference of UNESCO in 1999 in order to promote awareness of multilingualism, linguistic and cultural diversity. Celebrated on 21 February annually as a way of paying homage to the incident in 1952 when four students in Bangladesh were killed during the demonstration to recognize their mother tongue as an official language. So the theme for the year under review was, I quote, to promote the preservation and protection of all languages used by the people of the world, end quote. Reading and writing program. For the second biennial conference in Bloemfontein, the department continued to support initiatives that promote the rights of persons with impairments. The Deputy Minister delivered a keynote address at the official opening of the 42nd biennial conference on 14 October 2015 in Bloemfontein, Free State. The biennial conference of the South African National Council for the Blind is a major event, which takes place every 2 years in a different province, where vital matters on access to information for visually impaired people are discussed. Then the annual National Book Week, the department, in partnership with the South African Book Development Council, hosted the National Book Week activities in Mahoreng Primary School on Wednesday, 9 September 2015 at Capricorn Municipality in Limpopo under the theme, hashtag going places, hashtag buy a book. Various publishers such as Penn Macmillan South Africa, Penguin Random House South Africa, and NB Publishers have offered discounted books that will be sold at a minimal cost of 20 rand in bargain books and exclusive books stores nationwide. Also in this case, Deputy Minister Joyce Maputa Fass gave a keynote address, donated books, and also interacted with the learners, teaching them about the importance of national anthem and national symbols. Now, coming to the DAC schools programs, the National Identity Program. The National Identity Program entails reciting of the preamble of the Constitution in schools, installation of the national flag in schools, distribution of national symbols, both the national and AU anthems, and distribution of posters and the national identity booklet called the Passport of Patriotism. Department, in collaboration with SFPC, intensified the national identity campaign in February 2016. Also, the department hoisted 3,532 national flags in schools and distributed 109,700 hand flags in the repression period. Funda Mzansi National Championship. This is a book club reading competition where more than 30 book clubs were invited to compete for the prize. Participants included book clubs from correctional facilities whereby offenders participated in reading as part of the rehabilitation program. Deputy Minister in this case also announced the winners of the 6th Funda Mzansi National Championship during the closing ceremony on Wednesday, 7 October 2015 in George, in the province of the Western Cape. The Funda Mzansi National Championship took place under the theme, I quote, developing creative minds, end quote. Cultural Diplomacy Program. Africa Day celebrated annually to mark the formation of the Organization of African Unity and the African Union. Africa Month was launched in 2015-2016 as a major new initiative to celebrate Africa in South Africa. And I must say that since the advent of Minister Mthethwa, the Africa Month program has been done quite differently because it used just to be one day. But now you have got a month-long program which has got programs that are about changing the mindset, changing consciousness about the continent. So the theme for the 2015-2016 financial year, which reads, We Are Africa, opening the doors of learning and culture to promote peace and friendship from Cape to Cairo. Maybe just to say that the theme here was well calculated because it was beginning to say, we should, as South Africans, stop saying when we are going to Zimbabwe, we are going to Africa, as if we are not in Africa ourselves. So that's why the theme was saying, we are Africa as South Africans. The theme sought to encourage political economic integration and enhance social cohesion within their continent. In 2015, the country experienced a scourge of xenophobia and Afrophobia that threatened to tarnish the image of South Africa in the world. In partnership with the Ministry of Sport and Recreation, the department embarked on a campaign titled We Africa to discourage any form of xenophobia through using the power of sports, arts, and culture to improve the image of the country. cultural seasons, the Department of Arts and Culture held the celebration of the Year of China in South Africa from 18 to 19 June 2015 at Player House, Durban. The celebration started with the opening ceremony of Tianjin Cultural and Arts Festival. This festival was one of the outstanding activities of the Year of China in South Africa 2015. In the period under review, the department also continued with the implementation of the South Africa-UK cultural season. In terms of DAC entities and governments, shareholder contracts were signed with all DAC public entities. Annual reports for public entities were tabled in Parliament as required. The CEOs, CFOs, and chairpersons forums were held as planned, and councils of most entities, with the exception of PENSA, were constituted and inducted. And 7 entities received clean audit reports, 6 received unqualified audit reports, 11 received qualified audit reports, 1 received an adverse audit opinion, and 1 received a disclaimer. Chairperson, I would like to, with your permission, allow the CFO to take us through the report by the Auditor General and all the financial matters. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, and Honorable Members. I'll start with a summary of the audit opinion with a trend analysis where you can see that the department since 2011 to 2013, they were able to receive an unqualified audit outcome. However, in the year 2013-14, the department received a qualified audit opinion. Then thereafter, there was an improvement in 14 and 15, as well as in 15 and 16. In terms of the executive summary of the current year under review, Chairperson, the department is confirmed here that it received an unqualified audit report. However, the AG brought this matter that the department need to attend, which are the misstatement in the financial statement, finding on non-compliance, inadequate system to prevent irregular expenditure, procurement and contract management. And on the predetermined objectives, the auditor also noted that hand-held, there was challenges on verification of hand-held flags, verification of library materials, also the dealing with the number of schools receiving booklets and number of schools receiving preamble of the constitution. If I come to the budget and expenditure, the picture is that the department for the year under review, the final appropriation was 3.8 billion and the department spent 3.7 billion. Which resulted in a 98% spending of the department. Then the department has underspent with an amount of 63.6 million. This is a graphical view of the spending in terms of the different branches, administration, institutional governance, arts and culture promotion, and HPP. This is a total summary of the department in terms of economic classification. You can see there, just picking up on few examples, compensation of employee was 97%, goods and services 93%, the library conditional grant 100%, departmental agencies 101%, and in total, you can see the current total that the department have underspent 63 million. This is a graphical view of the economic classification. And here we try to explain the reasons why there was underspending on different items. If we start with compensation to employees, we can see that there was a 5 million, and this was due to the status of filling of vacancies, which were at different stages of recruitment. And this is as per program as follows. In administration, there was 100% spending. In IG, there was 98%. In ACPD, it was 92%. In HPP, 97%. If we go to goods and services, we can see that there was
over an expenditure if you look at the institutional governance, which was due to the management fees that was charged to the was charged by IBT for the infrastructure legacy project. However, a total balance of 28 million was due to the delays by the Department of Public Works in invoicing the department for municipal charges and other operating leases. This slide, honorable members, is talking to the conditional grant if the department transfers to the provinces. And you can see in all cases, the department has transferred 100% to the provinces, whereas in some instances, the spending of the provinces was a little bit below par. If we go to our public entities, this is a slide showing how much have been allocated to the and appropriated to the entities and how much the department transferred. And the slide, I can just, with your permission, go through. this slide that we are at is talking about the expenditure on capital works. If you look at capital works here, capital works performing arts, appropriation of 1.1 capital was the legacy project for heritage, 200 was not spent, and in total 1.3 million was not spent. If you look at PENSAL, allocation was 87 million and all the money was transferred to PENSAL. On office accommodation, municipal charges 28 million and the spending and the transfers was 54 million. Still on transfers for African World Heritage Fund, 1.7 million was appropriated and 1.7 was transferred. Same to subscription fee to Commonwealth of 2.4 million and 2.2 was transferred. On households, the summary of households is as follows. Employees social benefits was 1.8, language development project 8 million, culture and cultural and creative industries 884,000, Mozambique Golden Economy Project 3.7, heritage promotion 5 million, art social development 8.5 million. In total, 29 was appropriated and 25 million was spent. If we go to public corporations, in on transfers, here per categories, you can see that in total, 123 was appropriated and 108 was transferred. To the non-profit institution also, in summary, you can see per category, and if you go to the total, you can see that 186 was appropriated and 170 was transferred. Also, on non-profit, it continued there. You can see some of our stakeholders, the Business Arts South Africa, Engel Deck House, Blind SA, and Blind SA for capital transfers, 15 million in total, and 15 million was transferred. On building and other structures, in total we can see that there is a difference of 9 million which was due to DCW not invoicing the Department for Construction Work done at the old library for National Archives and also at the Sarah Bartman Center of Remembrance. On this slide, Chairperson, is machinery and equipment. The budget was 4.1 million and 2.6 million was spent. The reason for the balance was due to the delay in finalizing the procurement process of a tender issued through CETA for the digitalization of the Rivonia trial records. On the heritage assets, 583 was appropriated and 283 was spent, and the balance was mainly due to delays in the consultation process for declaring the chief CV of Amakimbi Tribal Authority site as required by the National Heritage and Resource Act. So this delay caused that the 300 amount was not yet spent in the previous financial year. For software and intangible assets, 6.3 was allocated and 5.9 was spent. The difference was due to CISA invoicing the department less than anticipated for the NARS project. These are all the applications, and thank you.
Thank you very much for the presentation before the committee. But my worry, acting DG, is that you did not speak to the targets achieved and targets not achieved, and the reasons why those were not achieved. And that was the thrust of the presentation before the committee, because that is the yardstick that we use as a committee to assess the extent to which you've been able to stick to your mandate and fulfill it in accordance with the APP that you submitted before the committee. And another worry is that I don't know. I'm not in the administration, but each department has kept in its their own format of presentation. Now there are these inconsistencies where others will tell us about the target, others don't. Others tell us the beautiful narrative that you have given us, but it does not speak to the target, achieved or not achieved. All those members, that is the end of the presentation. I don't know if one can engage, especially the honorable members that had requested to leave in, so that when we responded to, or we had reported Honorable Dlamini as having apologized, and thereafter we came in, so how to correct our result. Thank you. Honorable Kaula, Honorable Stock, Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Hakim, in that sequence. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. In fact, I would like to be excused earlier, so I thought I should start here before I leave. Let me welcome the presentation and also echo what we have just said, because really, as we are seated here, we are not sure on what you presented to us that you're going to do in this particular financial year. Which are the targets that were not achieved? The chairperson has covered that. It's putting us in an awkward position, just talking without really measuring your achievements on the APP as presented to us during the beginning of the year. Chairperson, there is something that I'm not able to really touch. But I think the department is in a better position to speak to that. For me, gradually, we have this department responsible for culture, our culture, but we are gradually losing our culture in all traditions. It doesn't matter whether you are Swati, Zulu, Afrikaans. We are all losing our culture, all of us. Now, we're more Western than African, or more American than African. What is it that we are not doing right as a department? Because you are the department assigned with that responsibility. When you go to your planning, look at what we have achieved. If you said we have achieved in cultural things, what is it that you can say we've achieved? If I've lost my Swati culture, Zulu culture, the young generations behind us, even ourselves, we've lost that. What is it that, if you are to be asked in practical terms that we have achieved, what will you point at? Except the activities, because activities are contributing towards a bigger picture. that we have to retain our culture. Can we physically see that? I cannot touch, but I feel we are losing our culture, but we are the department responsible for that. It goes the same with social cohesion. I know that it's not only this department, but you are the custodian. They're also coordinating other departments in terms of social cohesion. I don't have an English word to put it, but siyangokuhlukana each and every day. It's apparent. Everybody can see that. Besi better yesterday. We're more of a nation yesterday. I'm not referring yesterday like yesterday, but in the past. But if you look at us now as South Africa, I'm sure you don't have to ask me. Sesihlukene kakhulu. Yini lesingayenzi kahle in terms of social cohesion. Maybe one will say, when you have these meetings that you said you have achieved, you have a number of meetings, what are you doing in that meeting? What are you talking about in that meeting? I've never been lucky to be part of those meetings. Maybe I would have known what is being done. Can you sit down and say, we are building social cohesion in a meeting? What is it that we need to do as a country to ensure that we build social cohesion? Is it in a meeting form or in activities or things that we do together as a nation? Do these meetings have impact after you have had those meetings? The cultural events, Chen, I've seen you mention a number of them that you have supported. How do you define cultural events that are hosted by traditional leaders every year? Amakhosi, abanemicimbi every year. I know they belong to another department, but those are cultural events. Don't you think that you have a role there to support those? Because amakhosi are really struggling. They've got a very minimum budget for those cultural events. Don't you see those events as cultural events? I don't know. I feel those events that are done by amakhosi are also cultural events. Chairperson, on the name change, just checking, is there no important name in Mpumalanga, Langboya Konami? Because you said you've only mentioned those because they are important, you thought they are important names. And this is where my province is. If you say that, you're saying to me there are no important names in Mpumalanga. Are there no important names in Mpumalanga? Because for us, as people from Mpumalanga, all the names are important. I don't know, I'm just asking a question. The chairperson, I would be called Sen Monument, because each and every time we meet with this department, I talk about Sen Monument, a Hesekwa municipality. You may not have an answer today, but when you come and present your plan for the next financial year, please, I would want to see it on your plan. It may not be covered by this, but if you can remember that when you come back next year. I want to talk about Isamora Machel Monument, Mbuzini. That monument, I believe, after that, nothing is happening. If I don't know, maybe I did not go this year, but I've been going there almost every year. I don't think that we are using it to the potential that it has, where it is placed. And the last one, Chair, we on the national identity. It was this time last year when they were reporting. We requested, I know, particularly for me, I'm a flex for the schools in my constituency office in Mazulu. Until to date, I've been sent from this office to the other. I don't know what's happening. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, colleagues, acting DG and the delegation. Let me start by something that nothing was said about it. Just want to find out if there is anything that is happening on it. Yesterday, I Chairperson raised a motion in the House about the issue, the problem of music piracy in the country, including also copying the rights of the artists. The department has said nothing about that. I want to find out if they do have a contribution in trying to assist in that regard, and if they do, why is nothing being said about it? Because for me, it is a problem, which I think the department should be involved in trying to solve them. Secondly, the provincialization of libraries, is that problem still on? There was a time frame when it started some years ago. There was a time frame that was attached to it. Libraries now all under the authority of the provinces, or do we still have some that are with the municipalities? And again, nothing was said on that one. Well, the chairperson has covered me there on the achieved and the not achieved as to why. It's a pity the political leaders are not here, but I am still going to go on and ask this question, the usual one, which are more relevant to them rather than to the administration, which pertain to the objectives of the department and the actual implementation of those objectives. I've already had this concern, Chairperson, that social cohesion creates problems, especially on national days. Because during your national days, the activities that you plan become rallies of the political party. They do not remain entirely as social cohesion days where we all celebrate as a nation. I still have that concern. It's still going on. And I'm still raising it, Chairperson, because it is still happening. The other issue, Honorable Lamina has touched lightly on this one on slide 22. It would have been better if we had been provided with the whole list, because now, when only two provinces are mentioned, those of us who are not mentioned, we also get concerned in respect of those geographical names. The recognition of struggle stalwart on the legacy project, another concern, Chairperson, that these are really not all encompassing, they are one-sided. It's again a political issue to say, when are we going to arrive at a level where recognition of struggle stalwarts does not look at the background of a person, but looks at the contribution? When are the others going to be acknowledged who do not belong to a political party that is recognized year after year? And the slide 26, which only has got one library for KZN, just about to find out the Chairperson, does it mean that for the whole financial year it is only that one library for KZN, when so many were done for the other provinces? Is that issue again of the scramble of the provinces for resources? And the buffers, the same issue on slide 31. What is the selection criteria? Because I see there are all the cultural institutions mentioned. They are all over the show. There is nothing from KZN. What is the selection criteria? Why were universities like UKZN, Zululand, and others in KZN ignored? Then, Chairperson, the entities in respect of their audit outcomes. I just want to find out, you say that there is one that received adverse audit opinion and one that received a disclaimer. You did not mention which one those are. I'd like to know which ones are those. I'm saying because there is that entity which reports to this department. I don't recall which one chairperson. There is me thinking, oh, I'm not sure that one is there. I know what I'm saying. I'm going to take content and I'm going to take it. I'm starting to touch it. I'm going to open that. I just want to find out whether there is harmony now there, if it is one of those two, and whether things have been sorted out. And then the next slide, which talks again to funds on page 50, on slide 55. The chairperson is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But you see, we are always told by the finances, the finance sections of all departments, that when they distribute funds, the funds are equitable. That one is not equitable, those grants. When I look at scouting receiving 155 million, and KZN receiving 157, and the smaller than a province is like Northern Cape coming so close to KwaZulu-Natal and 140 something, and the smaller than a Northwest and the others, it's just not equitable. Now, which means the stories that we are told that the distribution of resources is equitable is not. Now, I just want to find out again, how are those grants allocated? Because it is not equitable. If it were equitable, how they would have the lion's share next to the KwaZulu-Natal, Eastern Cape, Limpopo, etc. But the gap there is very close from one province to the next. I just want to find out the international. How is it distributed? The next one, which is on the same page, there is a spending there, an allocation to the players' company of 39 million. Two blocks down, there is another capital transfer to play houses. It's a little bit confusing. One is play house, another one is play houses. If I can just get that, because I don't know if it is the same play house again. Getting another, because I will not have a problem with that. I know they're always struggling for funds. If you double them in 1 year, it serves them good. But I just want to find out, because it's confusing as to whether it's the same playhouse or other playhouses as it is reflected. Chairperson, the slide 59 has capital transfer to libraries. Appropriated is 16 million, but the actual transfer is only 6 million. What happens there? Because I think it's one again area where the resources are needed. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Honorable
Speaker.
Now, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also join my colleagues also in welcoming the comprehensive presentation by the department. And I would also like to echo the same sentiments of the chairperson by saying that it looks like the department have got their own approaches when dealing with this matter. There's no consistency in that regard. And then firstly, I've got only four issues. I will not take the Kaula approach, Honorable Chair. I will not take the Kaula approach. I will indicate up front that we've got time constraints like we've indicated. So I'll only ask four quick questions, Honorable Chair. And the first one is that it's on slide 13, which deals with the Zanzi golden economy. I know, ACTVG, you have indicated in your presentation about the number of key projects in the provinces that you are actually supporting, like in Gauteng and all of that, different provinces. In the presentation, I was hoping that you would actually give us a sense of per province, what is the allocation in terms of percentage? Like for an example, in relation to the issue raised by Honorable Kabulani, to say if we are dealing with the province equitably, what is the level of allocation from the department? If your budget is this amount, then what is the allocation to provinces? And I'm also raising this question on DG because in the two previous financial years, we have raised the concern as a committee. There was a slide, I think it was your predecessor, Mr. Jack, that came to the committee at that time. He presented to us a presentation on Mzansi Golden Economy. And then the concern that we expressed to the committee was that at that time, in that presentation, the chunk of the budget of the department was going to Gauteng. And then we expressed a serious concern as a committee to say, but we know the marketing strategy of Gauteng, they say everything starts in Gauteng. Everything starts in Gauteng. But it doesn't mean that all the money must go to them. You know? It must be on the basis of the impact that we can, the impact the department can make in such provinces and the demand that is also there. Like for an example, I think it was 2 years ago when we said, let the department look at these disparities that are there in terms of allocation per province. And then the explanation we were given at that time in the committee was that the provinces that are actually not getting most of the allocation is because they are actually showing a lack of interest. They are actually not applying. But what we said, it can't be the reason that we are given as a committee, because there are different structures of the department at a level of, the ministers and deputy ministers, this MINMEC, and then also at the level of officials, there are different structures, where provinces can actually be encouraged to come with those proposals so that they must also benefit equally from this Mzansi Golden Economy. So I would like just to give us a sense of what is happening. Has the situation changed? Is it still the same? Or are we moving forward? That's the first question. Secondly, and then the 6.6 million, which is fruitless and wasteful expenditure, DG, can you just give us a sense of where the money went in that regard, the 6.6 million, for what purpose it was spent, and then how do you plan to correct the situation moving forward? And then my third question is in relation to the unqualified audit opinion, also the CFO. On two previous financial years, the same issues are coming from time to time, is the same thing. And I'm actually not impressed because the department comes to us and say these are the issues that the AG has raised. And then I'm also not getting a sense as to what is the approach of the department to correct the issues that are raised by the Auditor General in that regard. And then lastly, Honorable Chair, I would also like to make a request again once more that the same treatment the Portfolio Committee is getting, DG, you must also give it to us as a committee. And then we have raised this issue on different meetings that we have before. That it looks like the select committee is a by the way arrangement when it comes to us. And I will tell you why I'm saying this, because when there are national events that are taking place throughout the country, through the chairperson, and we've raised it on our chair with you, we don't want to be paid and raise it from time to time, as if we are now crybabies. What we are pleading for is just an issue of consistency. Let us all be treated the same. Because I can give you an example. I was at Makufe at my own cost. I went there, and your marquee of arts and culture were full of friends from your colleagues. And then there were people also from the portfolio committee, many of them that were there. And there was no one from the select committee, which is an issue that was raised very strongly and sharply. We raised it before, and we were told, no, this issue will be corrected. And then it's going to happen again. I mean, we are not saying we want to be socialized, we want to be all over when there's a jazz festival and all of that. But all what we are saying, if there's a national event, then the chairperson, speak to the chairperson about all those that will have interest to attend. I mean, somebody will be sitting like Honorable Kaula and KZN, wouldn't want to go to a jazz festival in Popo or Bloemfontein and all of that. But at least just to extend the courtesy to say, no, there's this event. Can you just give me a list of all those that want to attend? Like Honorable Hati, he hardly goes to such events, you know. Just for the lighter note. So it will be a minus one member. So those are my contributions, DG. Please correct it and see how you accommodate the committee moving forward. Thanks.
Honorable Public Spoken. I'm so interested with the decline from 71%. Coming to the treatment of artists, serious concern that Free State got 92%, being the smaller province compared to KZN, and KZN sits right down next to other provinces. I want to know, what is it that they did better in Free State? Or how has the placement occurred in Free State versus KZN, being the one with the biggest number of South African citizens? Chairperson, Honorable Stock has just covered me on the cultural events, specifically the Jazz Festival here in Cape Town. It is on this year we were called, we're in an oversight, and we were called, can you please come and fetch tickets at the CTICC. It was so untidy, last minute and all that.
Let me just interject, Honourable Member. In view of the fact that there are other members that would want to leave as they had requested, they should agree that their responses will be in writing. Are you agreeing?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, through you, I would love to hear the DG after several attempts and several promises, because I grew up in a house that also spoke Afrikaans and said the Lokdemans girls. We've been promised with the Jazz Festival and Makuta Tickets. And in the true sense of the Lokdemans girls, nothing has happened. I want the DG to come out of this room having promised that something through you will be, even if we get it from you, I trust that in your hands it will be getting to us. Because this year I was so disappointed. It was raining cats and dogs. Drove straight to the CTICC, having been called to that Jazz Festival. There were no tickets for us. We are playing a mantra. For me, that's a disgrace. When it comes to DG, you had at some stage partnered with schools to have flags as good wins. When I drive through a kind of Chabalanga, I ask you questions, what happened to that initiative, many times? I know about the place that is Bangayo, but in the events, but I'm talking your initiative, your partnering initiative with the Department of Basic Education. I don't know how far have you though, because I'm not seeing anything on the ground. Whilst you have promoted in language, I want to encourage you to promote multilingualism amongst South African citizens. You were so much on being bilingual, but it would be very interesting to promote multilingualism, including sign language, because Sign language is not yet recognized as a 12th official language, and it should, but in Korean, but if you could, 3 awareness programs then, clown. I hear nothing about your awareness programs. Coming to allocation, Honorable Kauda, Chairperson did touch on the language bursary programs and the current criteria that is followed, but I want to see quality, maybe, or the criteria is we go according to this. And my question is, do you go to ETVET colleges? You're only dealing with universities there. Nothing is being said about ETVET colleges. In the same vein of Honorable Kaula, Nandi Jogile, Paya ETVET colleges, as the provinces are not taken into account on the allocation, funding, Jim Ball, Mr. Chonai, Carlos, and Kazan, and I go. I'm to join representative of the Western Cape who was the representative of the Western Cape. Pelela ke or what that criteria are you using as a wins to back in a singer, the Western Cape three, singer after Chilang and Malay, as in the Western Cabaret Shield. Okay, the last one. The last one. Chairperson, it's 21st February as a Mother Day term. Mother Tongue Day initiative. The can vele nagu lento. If it announced kakhulu kakhulu yaziwe lento. Even nagu calendar, it's not noted. It's a very interesting day because Mother Day, it kala from internet and this language is inherent to this child. So it's a promotion of the language in a meaning and meaning because Uwazan Uwena Bako Kala Payan. But she's so silent in terms of awareness through even Lavi Kalenda my bed. Force your way through, you are the only department. If programs then is interesting things, then Lavigansa is in but as a zero. The new program is then joining your late presentation and you are one department that is rich in culture and diversity, but you're not embracing it. You're not embracing an EPD as such, whether in style or not, but you are one department and so you are taking seaway. You're in Quebec, you're taking seats of Samanguni, you're in the seats of Samanguni. Kodwa ni tetswa ka nkokobile kakakani fane ne vina strike tap ni zvule because ndi kuti kuba abantu bangene this is so style but the cater over one of the provinces chile ne chile asiyo fikelele bantwini Limpopo Limpopo bamicandi maqala kuva bakukhi into yenzeka yemle Limpopo enhle kanje. Namzingaya kani senze thina sibe ngabantu abazawuloba abantu into yokuba babone i-trust kule department yenu kumsayente and umzantsi afrika ungale department. This is one department endiyithandayo kodwa ngikhasa lapha phansi ndiyala because kani vela zaziseni eziseni idume ngazo.
Thank you, Chair. I will not be as long period as my colleague. firstly, I'm a bit concerned as was indicated in slide number 43 about the audit outcomes of the entities. I specifically would like to get a schedule of the performance of these entities and of all 26 or 50% of them I think must also enjoy the concern of the department, specifically the adverse and the disclaimer ones. I'd like to know if we can get a schedule with the audit outcomes as well as the previous audit outcomes of these public entities as you are going to. And we actually have to go back to the AG's finding on as reported on page 1-5 of the AG, and there are five findings there made by the AG summarizing what in effect is an environment that feeds itself for corruption, for fraud, for tenderpreneurs. This is the playground. We don't adhere to supply chain management regulations. We don't adhere to the EFMA. And the major reason why at this stage there's almost accumulated irregular expenditure. We, well, not really, so 403 million, with the current year at 111 million. I would like to know. Most of these are refunds. Now, can the department say what is now in place that we don't sit in the same situation next year? And I'm not even going into to the proof that's a wasteful expenditure. And I have to, because this is the culture in the department, I have to assume, unless I'm proven wrong, that the same culture exists in the entities of not adhering to procurement, to supply chain management procedures in procurement. Now, I would like to have some response on that, also about the history of this, the repeat findings, and what is now in place to set the department on the straight and narrow route. Then, also linking onto the AD's report, the department responded on how they deal with irregular expenditure by stating everything is under investigation. And I'm sure it was also the same in the previous years. The department could not conclude, according to the department's annual report, one investigative report. Not one. We don't know what happened to those people who were found guilty of this, were disciplinary measures being instituted, whether instituted, were criminal charges laid, what happened? Everything is under investigation. Nothing gets concluded. Can I please also then in writing for the year and also 2014-2015, which is also at play because of a finding of AE, also just get the outcomes of these investigations linked to the amounts that were involved. Then, much has been said about this is actually the presentation was, and I'm happy with that, and it's your prerogative to do that. And an offensive word. it's actually a showcase what you achieve. But like the chairperson along the minister also pointed out, is this a real picture of the department, of your achievements, of your setbacks? Do we have a picture of the department after this a snapshot? No, we don't. We've got a colourful picture of a department in, which is a very rosy department, and everything goes very well. And I have a concern about that. I know you want to show, because you want to be proud. Everyone wants to. I also want to be proud of the department. But to get there, we need to get the truth, the whole truth about it. Much has been said about the outreach, China, Ukraine, and then on the other hand, also the importance also by my colleagues about preservation of our internal cultures. I'd like to get the context of the sincerity of the reformer on this. Now, how much was spent on the China initiative, on the UK initiative, in comparison with the 11 language groups that we have produced, also that give attention to? Ek wil graag weet, wat is die aandag oor al gegee aan die verskillende tale, die kleine taalgroepe? Wat is die aandag oor al bijvoorbeeld gegee aan die KKNK, aan Aardklop? En aan die ander feest. Ek het die vraag gevraag. Ongelukkig is die vraag nie, is bietjie onduik. Maar met die nuwe inligting sal ek weer daarop fokus. So ek wil graag weet in hoe mate word aandag gegee aan die probleem wat van my beloop is uitgeloop het, die fokus ook op die inheemse kultuurgroep op die inheemse tale. Baie dankie, voorsitter.
Thank you. Just to request to apply still to the members that maybe, much as our languages are official, but because you don't have the interpretation system in the committee rooms, that is the issue that Parliament needs to take into account to provide the facility to be able to get the interpretation. Because sometimes the economist is if I speak my own language, much as it is important. So I would really appeal that because the department has to respond to honours members, then you speak in a language that they all
understand. I certainly support you, Honourable Chair, but also would like to point out to you that you were silent when two of my other colleagues spoke in their own languages. And you waited until I spoke in Afrikaans when you put that on the table.
Yeah,
but
speaking their own language,
did they? See, and Honorable Kahula spoke, but you didn't hear that, but I did.
He was mixing. No, sorry, I'm sorry about that, but I'm just appealing to all of you, in any case. I'm not saying it's true.
Chairperson, I'm so happy to have made my point.
Thank you. Anything else?
You didn't see my hand. the new kid of the block. Thank you, Chair, and to all my honourable colleagues. I really concur with the issue of AG's report, so I won't go much into that because it has already been covered, but I would really, really appreciate if all these points that we read in this report, the analysis from the 5th of October 2016, that you are giving the report as to what exactly is happening with these things that were pointed out by the AG. So I won't go much into that because all my colleagues have spoken about that. I need to find out in regards to the placement of artists in schools and the incubator program. If I may request that from Gauteng, I see that you have 33 schools that you have placed the artists. Can I request that, as I represent Gauteng, can I request that I have the list of those schools? I would like to follow up on that and see on the progress of that if it's going well. My other concern is the incubator program. I see you have mentioned places like Abo Wendy Brown, where we have places in Gauteng which are semi-rural. Townships like Mohlakeng, Beckersdale, kids from there, I do not think that they ever dream of getting to such theatres. What is it that you're doing to be able to include them in such programs so that they gain from that as well, because it's only kids that are around those suburb areas that are able to take part in those programs. And my other issue is the National Commemorative Day, especially the 16th of June. This is a very, very important day in our history, and I am very concerned because every year on the 16th of June, our children are taken to musical festivals, they are bused there, and all that happens there is dancing and getting drunk. Nothing more is happening. Can you please look into this and come up with programs that will teach these kids on what is this day about exactly? Things that will build them, because they come back there, they have not gained anything except all those drug addictions and all such things. So if you can also look at that as well and work with us in building the taking back the June 16 into and giving it the respect that it deserves. On the issue of national identity program with the flags, the schools have flags, yes, but my concern is there's a school in Mohlakeng in the street where my mother lives. I have spoken to the kids there, even the day when they were given flags, you will find them lying around Bewalahile everywhere because they do not know what that flag means. They do not even understand the colors on that flag. So if you can just make a point on when you take those flags to those kids, when you go mount those flags in their schools, teach them, even the teachers as well, that what this flag entails, what are the colors there, so that they're able to respect that flag and not treat it like just some gadget, some plain thing that they were given to. So those are my concerns for now, but again, I will reiterate the issue of the AG's report, if we can get a written report in detail telling us what has been done or what is going to be done with those issues raised there. And go to Chair.
Is there any other question? Let me just add My Lord, firstly, I would just appeal to the department to investigate some of the agencies that are promoting art. One of those agencies is the Artscape. Honorable Mpapo Spokwane, I would appeal to you as a representative of Western Cape to please investigate what is happening in the Artscape. I've received numerous complaints about the fact that there isn't a balance of artists that are accommodated there. And yet, my understanding is that they are subsidized by government and they should strive to take care of all the complaints, irrespective of where they come from. It should not be an issue of people coming from around town, even from township. They need to be taken care of. Yes, not remember. Program one, DG, you achieved 50% of your targets in that program, but you spent 91% of your budget allocated to the program. One target that you're not able to achieve as a department, you did not develop the annual communication plan, which you had set as a target to achieve. That is a concern. You also developed MPET only up to level 2, not 3, as a measuring tool that you had set yourself as a target to achieve. Why? And then also the sectoral framework and policy approach instrument was not developed, as one of the targets that you had set for yourself. In your senior management, your target was that at least you achieve 50% representation of females in senior management, and you achieved only 46% of that, not 50. What are we going to do about it? Because as women, we are looking at whether departments are really striving to ensure that women also assume the higher echelons of management. Not to say that there should be tokenism, but we know that there are many women that are in. That is your program. I was going to ask if the politicians were here, as why is it that the DG of this department is acting for the last three or 4 years? Why is it that we don't have a DG that is appointed, but you can't answer it because it's called to you. That is why it is important to have the political principal, because they must be able to answer us as the select committee in this circuit. And then on program two, your institutional governance, you achieved 68% of your target, but you overspent 103% expenditure of the budget. There is no correlation. You had set about to refurbish 5 community art centers, which you did not achieve. I hope we are taking note of this because it's going to come back very soon. 5 community art centers were supposed to have been refurbished. That was not achieved by the department. The standard operating procedure for legacy projects was not achieved. Why? We seek an explanation. Again, the standard operating procedure for the upgrading of archives was not achieved. It is part of your APP. And of the 24 entities that have got the board of directors, cancelled, has not been attended to. And we just want to get an idea as to when is this entity going to be attended to and have a fully functioning board of directors? It is a very important entity. dealing with the issues relating to language. Right now we're talking about languages. This is a very important entity, and one which really want to know what is happening there, what is the thinking of the minister regarding ensuring that the board is there, elected or appointed and fully functional. Then on your program 3, art and culture promotion and development, that was good achievement. You achieved 83% under the program and you used 97% of the budget that you allocated. But there are worries about the Mzansi Golden Economy. I don't know what you did for young people. You said that you are going to assist the youth by 50% and only were able to achieve 40%, and women by 50 and you only achieved 42% of your target. So I want an explanation, because that one is very, very important. That is where major complaints emanate from. People putting applications and not being assisted by the department, and reasons not given why it is that people are not being assisted. We've had numerous complaints that the Department of Arts and Culture has turned their back on the people that are not getting jobs. And then the other issue is the Arts Bank. It is not operational to procure or rent artworks. Why is it so? 40% of the entrepreneurs, you have set about to help 40 entrepreneurs to develop, but you have not done according to your plan or expectations. And if our own department cannot support entrepreneurs to develop along the lines of arts and culture, who else is going to do it? We are all talking about the preservation of culture, but if there isn't any effort to assist our artists through their artistic work to preserve and talk about culture and propagate our own culture as different peoples of South Africa, who else is going to assist them to do that? Most of them come from poor backgrounds. They don't have anything. They don't have fallback. They are relying on applications that they put to the department to assist them to develop as entrepreneurs in culture. And then your fourth program, which is the last program teaching, is the heritage promotion and preservation. You achieved 62% and yet you used 99% of the budget. And you, under this program, we have not developed the National Museum Policy, which you are supposed to be developing. Under Water Cultural Heritage, there's another policy that needs to be developed. National Living Heritage Policy has not been implemented or not yet approved by the minister. And then the issues relating to finances of the department. It is a worry that under irregular expense, they've actually used 430. Can that be corrected? Fruitless expenditure, 4.6 million. And they've got contingent liabilities as well of 23.2 million. And these seem to be recurring over a period or over a year. It goes back to the issue of the findings of the Auditor General, as you say. What are the politicians who have been able to answer this? Because you don't have a permanently appointed DG for a fixed period, then it becomes almost impossible to cause the layers below you to account whatever is happening, whether it is performance or financial. Because I've been a professional as well, I know When you're acting, you don't command the same authority as the person that has been appointed permanently in a position. It doesn't give you, you know, that authority that you say, I am sitting here as a DG of the department, I'm not acting. Because if you're acting, officers say, well, maybe we believe in any case. Or they say, no, maybe we believe in any case. This is wrong. So there isn't any effective consequence management as a result of this that is happening in the department. Once again, I want to say, I'm sorry that I'm raising it with you, and yet politicians should be answering this particular one. It is important. It is very, very important. A DG in a department is the highest official administratively. And a department has functioned like a solution. Why is it that it did not achieve the targets and so on and so on and so on? Yet there are people that should assist you below you to achieve the targets. You don't do it on your own. That you understand very well. It's an issue that needs to be attended to, which is a big worry to us. Now, DG, because my questions are based on figures, but they are very important, all of them. I would request that you answer them in writing. You respond in writing on this. By the, I will give you date and all the other members that left. You can answer those members that are here. I don't have a problem. But mine and those members that have left, please, by the 7th of December, I want those responses in the office of the secretary of the select committee. And please don't take it that we're off the hook, because we're going to meet once again next Sunday before we deal with the business of the day. So I will leave it to you, and now that you've exhausted all the questions, please respond to the issues raised by the other members that have been here. And then we conclude the meeting. I'm doing this because by 12 we should be through, as I requested. Thank you. Over to you, DG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members, for very important questions that you have raised. And also thanks for even allowing us to even do a written presentations on those. But also, Chair, we have noted also the recommendation that has been made that we need to also account for those things that we did not achieve and state why we have not achieved and what are we going to be doing about it, whether there has been any progress in some of the areas, whether there are still problems that we might want to share with you, and move through that, Chairperson. And maybe just to say that there are issues that have been raised by, I'm sorry because we didn't make introduction, but I will just speak to some issues that have been raised about a very constructive, of course, directive to us to say, finally, things are this. We must actually make ourselves known and our work known. And we take that point very positively. And we know, as we have also in your observation, Chairperson, the issue of communication plan and all those kinds of things. I think that there is a synergy between what the Chairperson has said and the Honourable has said. We are working on that to ensure that we have got a very comprehensive communication strategy that will ensure that the problems that are in the department are known countrywide. Working, of course, with the provinces and working also with the local government. The flag in every school, the decline as well, I think we also observed the decline and the issues, more particularly that have made us not to go down or to regress, is a project, more particularly infrastructure-related projects. We might want at some point just to just elaborate on those problem areas with regards to the implementation of infrastructure projects but also I think that we could even work smarter in terms of the policy areas of work, because some of the policies that Chairperson has spoken about are the reason for also a regression. He's spoken about the policy on living heritage, on underwater cultural heritage. I can't remember the other one. But I think that we should better on National Museum policy. I think it's work in progress, Chairperson, in terms of understanding and mapping your targets. Because this policy, first and foremost, you have to consult with the sector, but also you have to go through the cluster processes from the technical working group of the cluster. You have to go to the cluster, they go to cabinet. Sometimes cabinet would then make comments, go back. And I just think that we need to find a way of saying targeting, understanding all those complexities, so that we do not become so overambitious, and yet we know. For instance, currently at Chairperson, there is now a new also directive that has come to say, when you have done those policies, but you also have to do the socio-economic impact analysis. Now, it's another study on its own. Now, if you have not factored this thing in your planning, then you're going to get into trouble, as we are in trouble with them now. But I just think that going forward, this is what we're going to be working on, and really just understand the complexities as we do the targeting, factor those complexities in. The issue of flag in every school, that project is continuing, but Honourable Member, I think that you are right to say, and the words that you use, partnership, and I think that's where we need to strengthen the relationship. Because it shouldn't be about the Department of Arts and Culture parachuting into schools, doing those installation of flags. But it should be a partnership in such a way that DBE also is playing its part, because there's something that has been said about these flags, that it's not just a question of installing flags, but it's about the educational aspect of it. Now, as a department, we cannot play that role without interfering with the... But I think that that partnership, in fact, I've actually recently asked for that kind of a meeting with the TPE, so that we can just deal with, in a very comprehensive way, issues that we deal with as a Department of Arts and Culture that have serious impact on education, so that we begin to see how we can jointly deliver on those without interfering with those. But I think that that's a very important point, and the project is continuing. But I think that ideally, it should deal with the educational aspect very strongly, so that people understand the symbolism of those national symbols that we are talking about. Then when it comes to bursaries, this is an open process. We normally do adverts, and then and we've got panels that then begin to look at that, and then universities, we work very closely with universities. And of course, the number of bursaries that have gone in based on the criteria that have been set. So it's an open process. If you look at the number, maybe from a particular university, it just means that those are the ones who actually, in terms of the criteria, were able to make it. But it's not like we target particular universities get more bursaries than others. It's more of the criteria that are set. I've taken note of the 21 February, that we might want to make some mobilization around that, so that it's known that that's the day where all of us should be celebrating our mother tongue, more particularly where we've got challenges, where in some households, the only spoken language is English. The African languages are just gradually being marginalized. And that's a societal matter that we need to try and influence, that people must actually take pride in their languages, because with that, you know, like what Honorable Dlamini said before she left, there is a symbiotic relationship between culture and language. Because if you lose that language, of course, it comes with culture. So the more people drift away from languages, the more they drift away from their culture, because those languages are carriers of culture. So those are the things that we need to talk about. And if there are platforms where we can actually use, but we can use those platforms to ensure that we foreground cultures and languages, I think we should just make use of that. The repeat findings, Honorable Hudson. Honorable Hudson spoke about the repeat findings and investigations that are...
Honorable Hudson.
Hudson. Sorry about that. I work in the department that does name changes, but I'm sorry, I'm on the trying to change that. We've concluded, for instance, this year we did conclude the investigation that was done by Komodo Forensic Investigation. And as we speak, there are disciplinary hearings that are taking place in the department where officials that are involved in some of these infringements are being taken through discipline. So there is work that's been taking place. But also, with that Komodo Forensic Investigation, there are also criminal charges that have been also reported, and those are in the that those cases are actually being handled by the correct institutions. Yes, I think you've raised the same matter that was raised by the chairperson and other honorable members about the fact that our presentation was more of a showcase rather than dealing with some of the challenges that we, and as we have correctly indicated, that we will abide by the directive that was given by the honorable member of the chairperson, and we will also account on those areas that we did not do well on. And we will, honorable member, we will also oblige in terms of the list of schools that you have in Gauteng. In fact, what we need to do as a team of DAC, we will just provide the list for all provinces so that there is no other request from another province to say, but I want the list of schools in my province. So we would rather go comprehensive and say, this is what we have in Mpumalanga, Gauteng, and so that, and then those, the list of those schools so that honorable members can then make follow-ups if they wish to do so. I think it's true. Colleagues will just attend to some of the issues. I fully agree that National Days, we're still grappling with this chairperson. The National Days, so that they become meaningful, so that it's not just about the rally, but then there are discussions, debates about their meaning, so that people know when we're talking about Human Rights Day, why Human Rights Day, taking it from Sharpeville massacre, and why post-1994 that was then deemed appropriate to be a day that talks about human rights, because it was originally in 1960, you saw the dehumanization of people. The infringement of human rights. So those are the kinds of discussions that need to be debated in schools by communities, and I just think that we need to find an angle of how we do this thing without going into the rally form. I think I can talk about all of them, that it is true that we have not come to a point where we are really able to discuss matters of substance on those, and that's what we are trying to do, even through community conversations that we have been talking about, and there was a question, what do you discuss? And what we've done, what we're doing now is that all these community conversations also, they center around these dates. For instance, we're going to be focusing more on reconciliation matters with community conversations that are going to be taking place in December. So that's how we're trying, but it is true. We're not there yet. And there's still a lot that we still have to do in that particular area. The same thing with the flag in every school. I mean, we have spoken about the understanding of those handheld flags that we distribute. if there is pride, if there is patriotism, and an understanding of the deeper meaning of those, it is true that it would not be easy for anyone just to let go of that flag. But they would actually have pride in it and keep it. And I think that that's the work also that we will be doing with the Department of Basic Education. Most of the issues now, they are more about what the chairperson has raised, but also the chairperson that said, look, we need to maybe provide certain representations. But I'm sure that I might have missed a couple of questions. Through your permission, chairperson, if I may ask colleagues to cover those areas that they feel I might have not covered them well. Thank you.
I would allow the mayor just a couple of minutes to do so.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and members. We will certainly make use of the opportunity to provide written responses and equally to provide the list of artists and schools involved in the Gauteng-based program. With regard to, for example, the question of cultural events run by tribal leaders or in areas where these are traditions and events, we do provide funding through the NGE Open Call. It's not the easiest of processes, but we have in the past, the Amahlubi have in some cases received funding from us for a variety of events that have assisted. Equally, and as the acting DG had pointed out, International Mother Tongue Day is observed by the Department of Arts and Culture. In the last 2 years, the Deputy Minister has led those celebrations, but it is a fairly low-key kind of deal, and that is something that we probably do need to focus on. With regard to the language bursaries and the question about UKZN, as the acting DG had pointed out, we essentially make a public call. UKZN in a previous 3-year cycle had in fact administered language bursaries, but did not for whichever reason submit an application this year. Next year we will be opening the cycle again, and so hopefully more universities will come forward. It is a very interesting question with regard to where budgets lie, for example, prioritizing language versus international engagement, and that's a very difficult formula to actually present. But equally, one of the real challenges in the language environment that the Select Committee is well aware of is that the troubles that PANSOLB has been going through in the last little while have really set us back to some degree on the issue of the promotion. In the department itself, we work with translation, we do terminology development, we do human language technology development, and we do policy development. But with regard to promotion, that really is the core mandate of PANSOLB. And so we try and work together as much as we can to really promote all languages, but it really has been a very complex environment. And subsequently, the new management at PANSOLB is making progress, and of course, there's still some issues about the reconstitution of the board of PANSOLB. With regard to the questions pertaining to the allocation of funding provincially, it is still something that we struggle with ourselves, NMVF, National Arts Council. There is still a very skewed allocation. If you look at the difference between over the last couple of years, and we'll present that analysis to you, we are making progress in provinces such as Limpopo in the Eastern Cape, but there is still a predominance of proposals that come from the Western Cape, Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. And this year, in partnership with our provinces, we've instituted NGE roadshow programs across all provinces, where we've really gone in and had days, information sharing and workshopping with people in their languages and all the languages that they're most comfortable with, and we're really hoping that that is going to change the game. But it's something that we all really, really struggle with in the funding environment. Part of it is about communication, certainly. Part of it is about trying to simplify our processes as much as possible, but obviously keeping in mind that there are quite profound governance and compliance issues, such as tax clearance, which is essentially a non-negotiable, but also finding niched ways of dealing with particular issues. Chairperson, you had asked a question to say, what are we doing for young people? And the minister presented this challenge to us, and in his budget vote announced a debut fund, which is essentially a new funding instrument for young people, young artists doing things for the first time. We're working in partnership with Business Arts South Africa, and we will be making announcements soon about this new program, which will ally training as well as seed funding in a sort of a hothouse environment for young artists doing that very scary thing the first time, the first recording, the first theatre production, the first exhibition. So it's definitely a work in progress, Chairperson, but we will keep you informed.
A part of the submission that I'm requesting you to forward to the committee is a list of artists that have been assisted by the department, and a list of entities that have been assisted by the department and to what amounts, and where each province is working from, so that studying that, we can then look at trying to balance the focus, as not to focus on particular provinces at the total exclusion of the other provinces, because that is for standard. Having said that, Gigi and your team, I want to thank you for the responses that you've given. We await the responses that are going to be coming back to us in writing. But we do want to say that when next time you come to report to the committee, you use the format that you've advised in the PAP, that you've accepted, where you've achieved, tell us that you've achieved, but where you've not, why not? So that you can be able to guide it and guide us. And then the issue of community conversations and dialogue relating social cohesion. Those are very important meetings. We are not going to achieve social cohesion if we don't effectively use those platforms. The use of libraries to facilitate information, to escalate information, and promote artistic activities also. You know, we visited Limpopo. We conducted oversight over a beautiful library that we have built through the province now. Only to find that the effective use of those structures doesn't assist the communities that much because of the language issue. You find that 90% of the material in the library is in English, and 90% of the population are people speaking the African languages. It doesn't assist. So those are the issues that you need to look into. Having built libraries, now when you resource, do you consider the demographics of the population so that people can benefit from the libraries? Do we have programs that invite artists? Do you have programs that educate people about how to cook, healthy living? And so those are all the activities that can be done in a library, in small groups, but eventually they will have a very positive impact out in the communities through the use of library. Another issue that is very important that was raised by one member is intergovernmental relations. There are libraries that fall within municipalities. There are libraries that are provincial. Those that fall within municipalities are struggling with the finance and child resources to resource. What is the role of your department in supporting those? Or are you taking over? What is your policy in that regard? We were at Eastern Cape, there are libraries there, but they're under the municipality. There will be libraries under the province. Or what is actually happening? Is it a concurrent function? Would you have a role to play to support them with the mega budget that they have? Those are the issues that we keep on picking up. I've raised the issue of escape, indigenous cultural activities. When we talk about the issue that we need to recognize our own cultural indigenous wealth, be it heritage or whatever, the international day that Honorable Pabo Zumbane is talking about, where we use our mother tongue, should start in Parliament. If on that day the art debate in Parliament, they should be done in the languages of the members of parliament, because they will be addressing constituencies where we come from. That is going to assist in promoting our own indigenous language, because we are removed. Such a commercial akulu abasizwa bantu. But again, we must understand one another. That is why it is important to have the interpretation, which I think Parliament is going to be working on. The issue of monuments, acting that were raised, Sand Monument, Samora, they were raised by Honorable Lamin, attend to those, so that when we come back, then we have a different story to tell. And the MG marketing portal, I don't know whether it is up and running. If it is not, please attend to that as well, because it's one of the responses that we'll be expecting you to give us the next time you come to engage with the committee. For those few words, I want to thank you, Patrick, and wish you all the best as you go back to your office, DG, to execute your mandate together with your delegation. Thank you very much. But then don't forget to express our disquiet about the absence of the deputy minister. Thank you. Honourable members, thank you very much for your engagement and the contribution. The meeting is attended at the next meeting. Thank you. The minutes will be reserved next.